You're listening to Red Eye on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO 100.5 FM. A petition signed by more than 24,000 Regina residents won them the right to vote on municipal plans to privatize their wastewater system. The City of Regina wants the new wastewater treatment plant to be built as a public-private partnership, or a P3. Regina Water Watch says the system should be built through the traditional design, bid, and build approach. The referendum is coming up on September 25th. Jim Holmes is a spokesperson with Regina Water Watch, and he joins me this morning from Regina. Hello, Jim.
Hello, Jane.
Now, first of all, I guess I should say congratulations on getting a referendum on this. I understand city staff was trying to disqualify a few thousand signatures on your petition.
It was quite extraordinary, actually. Just as we thought we might reach the required number of signatures, we made a press release. And after we did that, the city made an application to the province to increase the number of signatures required. This was like a week, 10 days before the petition was to be handed in. The minister replied, saying that would be totally unfair and inappropriate for him to intervene and boost the numbers. So we went in with the original number. We ended up with about 5,000 more signatures than we needed. Then they went to the city clerk. She went through them. A couple of things she did. One of them is that anyone that didn't have the date 2013 beside where people had signed, she disqualified. Now, all the signatures were gathered in 2013. We told them that in the covering letter. But we were gathering them on the street, at farmers markets and malls, you know, wherever we could find people. So they weren't perfect. They weren't done in the lawyer's office. So it seemed an extraordinary step for us to take. And then she also applied a section of the act, we think, incorrectly. The city's clerk decision is not debatable. They simply have to accept it. And the city accepted and said, we're basically disqualifying 5,000 petitioners and you don't have enough numbers. There was a huge public outcry over that weekend after that announcement. We know the city was polling that weekend. We think they got legal advice on this question of the clerk's ruling, because we said, if that's what you're going to do, we have no choice but to, you know, but to seek judicial review of this. And by Monday, the city had changed 180 degrees and said they would go ahead with the referendum on our question. So we don't have, we guess we never did get a ruling on whether what the clerk did was legal or not, but in any case, we got the referendum. So that was great, and we were feeling really good about that. And the media were saying, well, you're worried about the city conducting the referendum. And we said, no, I mean, they run lots of elections. Let's not get paranoid here. Almost immediately, city administration started tweeting people saying, vote no. In fact, there was one that said, P3 is the best option. Vote no. End of conversation. So that was the kind of level of debate they were getting. They also immediately began taking out a whole series of misleading ads and billboards all over the city with public money, about $340,000 they've admitted to that they've been, and so they've been running those ads. So it's been nasty. We feel a little bit like we're, you know, going into a sporting event where the referee is paid and directed by the other team. But
so why does the city of Regina want to go the public-private partnership route on the new wastewater plant?
Well, it's quite simple. The federal government will give us back some of our tax dollars as infrastructure funds. It's a lot of money, about $58 million, or a quarter of the cost of the project. But they will only give us those if we agree to bring in a private partner. Now, our analysis shows that bringing in a private partner will come with higher interest rates. And over the life of this plant, those higher interest rates will wipe out the whole value of the federal grant. And we'll raise water bills in Regina by about $37 million over that 30-year period. So it's just a net loss. We don't get a better plant, or we don't get a more economical plant for all those tax dollars. What happens is the investors will get a higher rate of return, higher rate of profit.
So were you able to examine the proposal in detail?
No, not at all. We'd asked for it back in March when we first launched the petition, I guess actually in April. We got it in May. All the key numbers were redacted. It had all been erased. We got blank pages. So that was the first step. About 2 weeks ago, the city said, oh, we'll release all the information we can. And what they released was exactly the same white pages that we had received back in March. There's no information. Everything about this deal is secret.
Now, tell me a little bit more about how the No campaign is being funded. You mentioned $340,000. Where is that coming from?
That's coming straight out of it's coming out of taxpayers' pockets. The last thing, they sort of jump back and forth about how it was being raised. Apparently, it's going to be added now onto the cost of the wastewater treatment plant. So we'll be paying to be told how to vote with our water bills for the next 30 years.
That's pretty crazy. And,
yes.
And then the Yes campaign, how is that being run?
Well, a couple of things. We have a number of sponsors, the Council of Canadians, a local environmental group, Clean Green Regina, a group of activists called the Making Peace Vigil, and the local union of the Canadian Union of Public Employees. The Canadian Union of Public Employees has been very helpful. They've provided us with some expert advice and with money, which has helped a lot. And, you know, just some logistical support, copying and those data entry, those sorts of things. On the other hand, almost all of the work is being done by volunteers, most of us retired people. And that's who's been out there gathering the signatures. Those are the people who've been at the farmer's market. You know, those are the people who've been out talking to citizens and now putting up signs and identifying voters and all those tasks.
Now, I understand that the city is saying it's going to add an average of $276 per year to your annual utility bill if you vote yes. How did they come up with that number?
Actually, no one knows. This is the best we can decipher. They took the value of the federal grant, which we will not get if we go with the public system, but that's the one that brings the higher interest rates, so we're saying we're better off without it. But they calculate that. They then have another $20, $21 million of what they call value for money, but we have no idea where that comes from. It's all secret. And those value for money calculations have been criticized by the Auditor General of Ontario, by the British House of Commons Treasury Committee, because they're always secret. Nobody can figure out what's in them. So that's the other money. So two very dubious figures. Then they amortize them over 4 years. Now remember, this is a 30-year project. So for some reason, they decided not to take those particular costs of the project and spread them over 3 years. They decided to spread them over 4 years. And then we're just in sort of weird land. One of the reasons they said for 4 years is because we won't have to pay any interest. So what they're saying is someone's going to loan them $80 million without charging any interest for 4 years. I would love to know who that is. I've been using some of my line of credit to finance this campaign, so I'd love to know where you can get interest-free money. None of it makes any sense. One of the counselors said, wait a minute, where does this $276 go? I thought we had the statutory authority to set water and sewer rates. Who set this as being the new rate? And they admitted that, no, in fact, they'd never voted on that. They just made it up. Just the other day, the mayor admitted it was a totally arbitrary number, but they have plastered it all over the city on big billboards as though it has some truth to it.
So their talking points about this are all money, 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 money. What about the Yes campaign? Why are you saying it's so important to not go to this P3?
Well, I think we need to step back and realize that water is absolutely essential, and we actually had a very good speech just last week by an environmental scientist on the importance of water. So that's one issue. Water is huge. You need it for life, and it's not something that should be left to the profit motive. That's the key one. The other one is the city says, well, they'll control the plant. Well, their report is very clear. It says says four times in there is that you are giving operational responsibility for this plant to a private corporation. And if you don't want to do that, don't follow this project. And yet the city somehow is telling citizens they will always control the plant. We've been stressing those things. It's extraordinarily important. It's important we keep it in public control. We get our drinking water from what is where the wastewater from about 1.5 million people in Alberta, where they discharge their water, and then we discharge our wastewater into a system that goes out through eastern Saskatchewan and into Manitoba. So we all have a responsibility in this stream, in this chain, and we think that's important. We can let that go. And the other one is that, quite frankly, they're talking about money, but the money doesn't work out. This is just a much, much more expensive option. It's like, you know, do you want to put a big down payment on your house, and pay lower interest rates, or do you want to put down a little bit of money and pay extortionate interest rates? And the city's opted for extortionate interest rates. And the curious thing is, you know, they have the money. They have raised water taxes by about 70% in the last 7 years, and there is a huge surplus. 40% of that utility is surplus, of the revenue that comes in is surplus. So there's lots of money there to do this, but somehow they've opted for this high interest rate policy.
What happens if a city that has a public-private partnership, a wastewater system, for example, operated by a private corporation, and they end up not being satisfied with the way that the company is managing the system? Can they then get out of the contract?
Only with difficulty. A number of places have. For example, just about 3 or 4 days ago, Berlin, Germany, just took back its water system from two of the you know, giants in water privatization, REE and Veolia. They're paying about $1.7 million to get that contract back. The company's fed it for 14 years, taking out incredible profits, I think about $1.6 billion so far. But the citizens have decided that it's a terrible deal. Same thing happened in Indianapolis. I can't give you the number off the top of my head. Same thing happened in Brussels, where when they got into a dispute about it, the private water companies started discharging raw sewage into the river in the middle of the city. So they do that, but typically people have to pay and pay very dearly to get their essential water back again.
Now, if you win on September 25th, is that going to be binding on the city?
Yes, it is. The legislation is very clear. It is a referendum. There's also provisions for plebiscites, which are not binding. But this is a referendum, and it will be binding on the city, and they're required to drop a bylaw that captures the intent of the referendum and to implement that.
Do you have a sense of where it's going?
Oh, someone in the middle of campaign is the wrong person to ask. What we do know, the best judge we have, and this is wholly unscientific, is we're down at the farmer's market here a couple of times a week. People come to us often expressing support, sometimes giving us money, you know, asking for signs and those sorts of things, sometimes with very direct questions. They are almost inevitably polite but inquiring. We know that the city has one just down the block from us. People come and go there. They get in arguments. People have been called liars by city councilors. It's really a pretty nasty scene down there. Now, that's completely unscientific. We don't know. A lot will depend on their turnout, but we've got a great crew of volunteers. People are working very, very hard, and we're feeling encouraged, but, there's nothing sort of scientific about that. We just need to get people out to vote. That's the key now.
Well, you've got, 11 more days?
Yeah, we've got a couple of debates coming up next week. So the first time the issue will really be debated, because issues rarely get debated in Regina City Council. They're big fans of unanimity. So there will be a real debate. There will be a chance for people to hear both sides of it. There will be a chance for people to try and get to the bottom of the numbers and the principles and values that underlie this. So I think it will be very good and helpful for people. And then the media has gotten, very interested in it. So there can be a number of things on television leading up to the referendum. So, yeah, I think we'll be able to get, the message out, and hopefully people are going to be very engaged in this, because that will be the key. We'd really very much like it to be, decisive one way or the other, because it's been quite divisive so far. And so we could, if there's a decision and that it is clear.
Okay, well, we will be watching. Thanks so much for talking to me this morning, Jim.
Thank you very much for the opportunity. Have a good morning.
And you. I've been speaking with Jim Holmes. He's a spokesperson with Regina Water Watch.